From round the corner
to your street and neighbourhood.
This is Dave for Breakfast.
Triple M Breakfast.
G'day, Dave for Breakfast here with your weekly brekkie catch-up. This week's guests include Rural Aid CEO John Walters, chatting about the importance of what Rural Aid is about and how they help support our farmers, plus how you can contribute to their annual fundraiser, Mates Day. I'm also joined by Endometriosis WA volunteer Rachel Lamont, who helps educate and raise awareness of this horrible disease that affects so many women, as well as sharing her own experiences. Plus, get those taste buds fired up. Narrogin CWA Belle Kay Weaver is back with a simple recipe for scones. Although not hard to make, many people, myself included, tend to bake bricks instead of light, fluffy scones.
It's Triple M Breakfast.
Getting your day going and feeling good.
This is Dave for Breakfast.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome in the CEO for Rural Aid, John Walters. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Dave. And look, I've got some very big shoes to fill because I know you usually chat to Roger, Rural Aid's amazing councillor at this time. So I'm going to enjoy my brief chat with you because I know it'll be Roger straight back into the chair next week.
In the meantime, we've got, Rural Aid has got its big fundraiser, Mates Day.
We do, and Mates Day is it's our annual fundraising campaign. We reach out to the Australians, doesn't matter where you live, in the west or the east, the north or the south, and we say, you know what, if you value and appreciate what it is that our farmers do for us, then maybe you'd like to reach into your pocket and give generously to Rural Aid so that we can be there to provide that help and support to our farming families when those unexpected events come along.
So how important do you find that this fundraiser is for your rural communities, for your ability to be able to be there for the farmers?
Oh, it's enormously important, Dave. It's our single biggest fundraiser of the year. And so the generosity that comes through on the day, that will allow us to go and do the things that we do. It will allow us to get some support to those families who were impacted by bushfires in the west earlier in the year. It'll be there to help us get support to people who, as we see the West continue to experience really dry conditions, to be able to help and support those families. It allows our councillors to be there every day of the week to offer the support that they do. So it really is the big campaign that helps Rural Aid to do the work that it does. And so much of what we do absolutely is off the back of the generosity of everyday Aussies, mums and dads who really do give generously to us.
That is absolutely fantastic for that support, and hopefully it does continue. So where can people go to do donations?
Making a donation is really simple. It's just jump onto the website, which is ruralaid.org.au, and follow the prompts there. And one of the really key themes of our Mates Day this year is that every plate tells a story. It's the food on the plate, and it's just as much the food that's not on the plate. And it all starts with a farmer or a farming family that's grown that produce or raised those livestock that translate to the amazing produce on our plates. And if we value that, then we should be thinking about the role that our farmers play. No farmers, no food. And Rural Aid's there to support those farmers in those times.
Absolutely. Very important message there, and especially supporting local produce as well. And as we all know, that there's a huge risk involved with that our farmers go with on a daily basis, but it's important to continually support them. Should someone need someone to talk to, maybe contact Rural Aid, what's the best number there?
Look, the best number always is the 1300 number, and jump onto that one. Don't hesitate to reach out to us there.
And that Rural Aid number is 1300 327 624. That number is Rural Aid, 1300 327 624. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, John. It's been an absolute pleasure talking about Rural Aid and also about the Mates Day fundraiser coming up.
Fantastic day. Thank you so much.
That was CEO for Rural Aid, John Walters. You're listening to Day for Breakfast on the Great Southern's Triple M.
It's Triple M Breakfast.
Getting your day going and feeling good.
This is Day for Breakfast.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome in the Regional Volunteer for Endometriosis WA. Good morning, Rachel.
Morning, Dave.
So can you give us a brief outline of what endometriosis is?
So endometriosis is a disease in which tissue similar to the uterus lining grows outside of the uterus, and this can be anywhere outside of the uterus and beyond the pelvic region.
Okay, so what's a few facts about endometriosis that our listeners should know about?
So endometriosis affects 1 in 7 people who are assigned female at birth. It takes on average 6 to 8 years to get a diagnosis, and there's no cure for endometriosis, so all treatment for it focuses on symptom management, and these symptoms can involve the entire body. But there's also been double in the last decade of endometriosis-related hospitalisations for 20 to 24-year-olds. And there's a huge financial impact that endometriosis has. So it costs the average person with the disease $30,900 per year. And the total economic burden of endometriosis is estimated at $7.4 to $9.7 billion per year.
Wow. Okay. So now you yourself are a victim of endometriosis.
Yes, so I've had it diagnosed for nearly 5 years now, but it did take me quite a while to get a diagnosis and get some treatment plans sorted.
So I'm imagining that living in the rural area, getting help for this or even getting a diagnosis for this, by the sounds of it, is not just a matter of going and seeing your local doctor. There's obviously more to it.
Yeah, definitely. And so going to your local GP, it's important that they do have some education surrounding endometriosis, because it can be quite difficult to diagnose, and it does require many people with multidisciplines that to get a diagnosis and then treatment later.
So it's not something that your local GP can generally pick up. It's a matter of going and seeing other specialists?
Yeah, to get a diagnosis, usually you end up going for an ultrasound, which there's limited availability of ultrasound technicians who do have an understanding of endometriosis and know what to look for. And then to get the formal diagnosis, you've got to go to a gynecologist that preferably is trained in endometriosis excision surgery, and you have surgery to get it diagnosed and removed initially.
Wow, so it's quite a process, and I'm imagining in between times, by the sounds of it, can be quite a painful process and to living with as well.
Yeah, it was a huge amount of pain. I've been very fortunate that I've been able to manage my pain since having it diagnosed, but there's some people that are bedridden for a few days a month or more, but just because it is so painful.
All right. Well, let's hope that we can get a lot more funding and awareness and also education about endometriosis, and hopefully find a cure for it and get rid of it, because this sounds like an absolute terrible, painful disease that women go through.
Yeah, it has huge impacts physically, mentally, financially, and when a lot of the treatment is further away for those who live in the regions, it comes at, I think, more of a financial burden, because you've got to travel quite a distance to get treatment sometimes.
Absolutely. Well, I look forward to catching up with you again, Rachel, and talking more about endometriosis and, more importantly, finding out and educating people about endometriosis. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on, Dave.
That was a Regional Volunteer for Endometriosis WA, Rachel Lamont. You're listening to Day for Breakfast on the Great Southern's Triple M.
It's Triple M Breakfast.
Getting your day going and feeling good.
This is Day for Breakfast.
So an absolute pleasure to welcome in from the Narrogin CWA Bells, Kay Weaver. Good morning, Kay.
Good morning, David.
So we've got a great little recipe here. It's an oldie but a goodie from the CWA cookbook.
Yes. It's just scones. Scones are one of the most basic things and the quickest thing you can whip up when somebody suddenly arrives at your house. But people have terrible trouble with scones.
I'm one of them.
Are you? Yes, a lot of people are. And it's almost guaranteed. The reason you're having trouble with scones is you spend far too much time and effort on them. So you knead things and mould things and push the flour around quite a bit. So you've just taken all the air out of it and that'll turn into a cake.
Right.
You know, just a lump of something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't be generous with your enthusiasm and your time. Treat them roughly.
Okay.
So this is a very basic one. You can – I'm a terrible cook because I'm very slapdash, so I don't really measure things. And if you're as old as I am, you've been cooking so long you can just look at a bowl and know that it's okay. So all my measurements take with a pinch of salt. But I've said – 3 cups of self-raising flour. Self-raising, you can use plain flour and baking powder if you want to, and a 600ml carton of cream. That's all it requires. You don't need lemonade. You can put lemonade in it, but you will get a sweet scone, and it's not necessary. It's the bubbles that you see in the lemonade mostly will disappear in the process of being mixed, and maybe some will stay. It won't. They won't hurt. But it's not necessary. So just slap some flour and some cream together, mix it. As soon as it looks almost combined, tip it out onto a floured board. Just push it around enough so it becomes a fairly firmed piece of dough. Don't knead it under any circumstances. Do not knead it. It's not necessary. It's not bread. So you just cut it up. You either use a round scone cutter or just cut it into squares with a knife, whatever suits you best. Do make it small. If you make them big, it will take longer to cook and they get a bit woody on the outside. Make it small. They're going to rise. So they're going to be much bigger. So use a fairly small scone cutter. Spread them out onto a oiled tray, preferably a dark tray. It seems to be a thing that black metal trays cook quicker. I don't know why. And put them in the oven between perhaps 180 degrees C up to 200 degrees. You all know your own oven where it cooks best. So that's a centigrade thing. And so medium with a little bit of heat, but not too much. You don't want them to get all dry on the outside. And cook them maybe for 10 minutes, have a bit of a look. If they need a few more minutes, give it to them. But they should rise quite high. And then, of course, that's your plain scone. You want it sweet? Put sultanas in it. You want it savoury, put cheese all over it and a bit of paprika in it. You can be very flexible with what you add and what you do, but that's a basic scone thing. And it really is as rough as that. Slap some flour and some cream together. Cream is just easier than rubbing butter in. And roll it together a little bit, put it on a board, cut it out, stick it in the oven. 10 minutes later, you've got hot scones.
Fantastic. No wonder my grandmother could just whip them out with a 10-minute notice of us getting there. Absolutely brilliant. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning there, Kay. Absolute pleasure to be talking scones with you.
Yep, and scones are a fail-safe. It's Triple
M Breakfast. Getting your day going and feeling good.
This is Dave for Breakfast.
Well, that's it for another week. Do join me either weekdays from 6 on the Great Southern's Triple M or here on the Brekkie Catch-Up end of next week.